Man, how you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than Yankee fans today, Deck. That's all I can tell you. In fact, I've got a skeleton right next to me here at Speaking Rock with a sportscaster headset on, and all it needs is a Yankee cap. We could pretty much sum up every Yankee fan in the country after what happened in the fifth inning last night.
Yeah, it was embarrassing, Steve. It wasn't a good look, Steve. It was a bad inning, Steve. You can't give the Dodgers six outs in an inning, Steve. And also, Steve, the Yankees were never winning this World Series. I love how I'm in New York City right now. I am literally overlooking Midtown Manhattan as we speak. And it's just a sea of delusional people that thought they had a chance in hell walking home with a ring this year because there was no chance they were getting by anybody in the National League. The National League this year was a far superior league. I firmly believed that the Padres were going to go to the World Series. I thought they were going to beat the Dodgers. Once it got to Game 5, that is when I kind of flipped my thought process on that because I did not think they were going to beat Yamamoto. But if they went to a 7-game series, I thought the Padres were going to go to the World Series. Honestly, whoever won that series, I thought was going to win it all. It ended up being the Dodgers, and it wasn't even a contest, Steve. The marks of a great team is simply this. Do you take advantage of mistakes? The Yankees make mistakes. The Dodgers took advantage of every single one of them. The biggest comeback in Major League Baseball history when it comes to a World Series after the fifth inning, 5-0, nothing. Incredible. The walk-off home grand slam in Game 1, incredible. Yeah, some missteps. I think there were some missteps by Boone. He should not have pulled Gerrit Cole in Game 1 the way he did. But yesterday, I mean, there was three absurd, almost in sequence plays that all should have been out. Now, I'll give Volpe a little bit of credit. That was a tough play to make. Okay, he's off, but, man, that's a routine ground ball to first base. There is no universe where Mookie Betts shouldn't have been out. And once that happened, I started laughing, and I said, here we go. Here we go. It's happening.
It is, and it happened. And that was the fastest five-run evaporation you're ever going to see in World Series history. And what's amazing to me is it was the trifecta of plays. And you could say, you know, some were physical errors, some were mental errors. Look, you played the game at the highest level, so you know. We'll start with Aaron Judge, okay? Ball hits him in the glove, he drops it, it's his first error of the season. When you watch the replay, you can tell that in the last split second, right before that ball was getting ready to go into his glove, his eyes went to just peek about, take a look at the runner, and as he did, he drops the ball. So is that something that you just say, well, that's a mental mistake, or was that just a physical gaffe? Let's start with the Judge play.
I would say it's both, because here's the worst part about that Judge play. I mean, the guy was having his first good game of all of the postseason. Homers in the first inning, makes an absurd circus catch in the fourth inning, only to be marred 30 minutes later by what this turned into. There's nothing you can say. I don't think he has an answer for it. His eyes came off it. He just didn't make the play, and it led to everything that it led to. But here's the fact. I mean, they had two other opportunities to get out of that inning, and they didn't take advantage of it. It's not just Judge. It was all of them. It was lazy base running throughout the entire series. It was bad defense. It was interesting bullpen decisions in Game 1. It was just a weird series. And, you know, at the end of the day, they got outclassed. They got outworked. They just got flat-out beat by a better team.
Yeah, they did. I mean, listen, you can't disagree with that. The Dodgers won 98 games this season, and the Yankees won 94. So the Yankees, you know, had the best record in the game of baseball, as we talked to Cody Decker here to start the show off today. Look, they teach you when you're first playing the game of baseball what PFP is, pitcher fielding practice, where when the ground ball is hit, pitcher runs the covers first baseman underhand tosses it, and you get a player out. Even if Gerrit Cole is slowed to the bag and can't make it, your first baseman usually is already taking off and will call the pitcher off and say, don't worry, I got it. And when you look at that play yesterday, and you brought it up because it opened everything up, the floodgates completely opened. The Yankees could have gotten out of that inning with no runs. Bases were loaded, two were out, a ball that was hit to Rizzo. You hear the fans cheer when that ball is hit. They knew that was the end of the inning until the horror show came to reality when Gerrit Cole, for whatever reason, stopped running into first base, really never ran, and Rizzo never really made a play for it either. It was the most surreal thing I've ever seen.
Well, it was funny. We played on our show today the clip of what Gerrit Cole had to say, and it's actually a very realistic explanation on why he didn't get to the bag. Now, that being said, it was not an excuse. It was just a misread on his part. That was a weird play, and this is where I will give a little bit of leeway to both of them, a little bit. There's no excuse that this wasn't an out. This should have been an out, period, stop. There's no excuse. But it was a squib ball off the cap of the bat. When those plays happen, you'll notice how Rizzo went down on one knee to kind of both block and smother the ball because he needed to make sure he kept in front. Because it was a slow-moving ball off the bat, Cole took a really weird angle to it, thinking that it was more of a swinging bunt rather than a ball that made it all the way up the line. So by the time it took the wrong angle directly off the mound, he was already out of the play, and Mookie Betts was past him. At that point, Rizzo didn't recognize that at all because he had his head down. By the time he's up and tries to feed the ball to Gerrit Cole, who isn't there, Mookie Betts is safe. Here's the problem. That should never have happened on anyone's part, and they all know better, and Gerrit Cole knew better. I know that because I was a first baseman who flipped the ball to Gerrit Cole multiple times in 2005 at UCLA. I know he knows how to do a PFP. Our old head coach, John Savage, drilled it into our head like you wouldn't believe.
I'm sure. I believe you. Cody Decker with us here on Sports Talk as we continue. Again, he hosts Beadle and Decker with Michelle Beadle weekday afternoons from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sirius XM Radio, Mad Dog Radio, Channel 82, longtime El Pasoan, former Chihuahua resident, former house guest of yours truly. So, yes, I know we can never not remind our listeners about all that stuff, Deck. That's for sure.
We were roommates, Steve.
We were roommates. Yeah, that's exactly. We drank tequila together. I mean, I can't say that about everybody besides you, so I really can't. So, I said this, and I stand behind this as far as, you know, how I will look at the end of this series if you're a Dodger fan, okay? Because to me, it's about as satisfying a clinching win as a Dodger fan will ever see in their lifetime. And that's because of the opponent, the ballpark, and also the circumstances surrounding the comeback. And this is a franchise that won in 2020 when they couldn't celebrate with a parade during COVID. They won in 81. They had the, of course, Gibby beating the Oakland A's in 88. And then you beat the Yankees last in 1981 with Fernando Mania and Fernando Valenzuela. So, look, for a Dodger franchise that is one of the most popular in all of baseball, doing it the way they did against that team in that ballpark, that is, for most Dodger fans, what you would dream of in a lifetime.
Absolutely. And here's another thing that I think a lot of people get lost in the shuffle, because you mentioned the records. Dodger has 98 wins. Dave Roberts is the best manager in baseball, and he has been for a couple of years, and it's about time somebody gives him his flowers on that. What he did this year with this team was astonishing, because they just dominated the Yankees in the World Series. They won in five games. Comebacks, everything. Pitching was phenomenal. Reminder, Shohei Ohtani wasn't on the mound this year, so that's one ace. Tyler Glasnow wasn't even in the playoffs. That's two aces. They were without Walker Buehler most of the year. They were without Tony Gonsolin the entire year. They're out Parker May the entire year. They were without Tyler Glasnow and who else? Oh, yeah, Clayton Kershaw. So that's an entire six-man rotation, all of which are all-stars, that were not available for Dave Roberts this season, and he won the World Series anyway. It's astonishing how good this team was, how good they were managed, and how good they were operated, especially with the bullpen, man.
No, you're right. And considering they lost five starting pitchers due to injury, it's nothing short of phenomenal. I mean, look, Walker Buehler was getting destroyed at Southwest University Park a couple of months ago because he couldn't find the plate, and he was just awful against the Chihuahuas trying to work his way back. He comes back, gets beat around a little bit, and then settles into his groove, blanks the Mets, you know, kills the Yankees the first time around, and then gets the last inning of the World Series. It's an amazing story. It's one of many amazing stories that happened to this Dodgers team this year.
really is. If you go through all the stories, you got that story right there. Walker Buehler having a 6 ERA all season long, coming to the playoffs and doing what he did. The Jack Flaherty story, getting picked up last second at the trade deadline where the Dodgers just kind of undercut the Yankees last second, and now he's pitching in the World Series 2 miles from where he went to high school. Everything involving Freddie Freeman. Literally everything. You can't even write a movie about this and have it be believable, but it is. It's astonishing what this team gave you. I had a whole debate on the air today with callers calling in. It's like, yeah, what do the Yankees have? They have all these stars. I said, you know what they need? They need Kike Hernandez. That's why I think the Dodgers should never go after Juan Soto this offseason. They don't need Juan Soto. I would actually argue, now I'm not saying Kike Hernandez and Juan Soto are the same player by any stretch of the imagination. Juan Soto is going to be a Hall of Famer. But Kike Hernandez is so ungodly important to that team, and I would actually venture to say he's more important to that team than a Juan Soto would be in free agency. The Dodgers just have all the right buttons to press, and it's taken lots of years of failing in the playoffs for Dave Roberts to actually find out that perfect like recipe, and he's got it. And I don't think they're going to let go for the next 9 years.
I agree with you. All right, let's talk about Juan Soto. And by the way, Kike Hernandez should just be a Dodger the rest of his life. I mean, I know it didn't work out in Boston, and then all of a sudden he says, well, I discovered I needed glasses, and he puts glasses on, and all of a sudden he becomes the Kike Hernandez we've known forever from his Dodger days. But that guy is just built for L.A. He really is. Plus, he uttered an F-bomb on national television when he asked if they were live. I mean, how many athletes will go through that process before they know what they're doing?
I mean, he's just got a good head on his shoulders. The guys love him. Brings so much. There's a reason why the Dodgers have brought him back 3 separate times.
You're right. You're absolutely right. What happens to Juan Soto? I mean, the Mets have more money than God. We know Steve Cohen is going to make him a priority. You know Hank Steinbrenner has got to do everything in his power to try to bring him back. What other teams are going to be in the Juan Soto sweepstakes? Because after losing last night, he didn't exactly endorse the Yankees. He gave a very, well, I like it here, but all 30 teams in baseball will have a chance to go get me.
I think this is going to come down to 4 potential teams, and I think the Yankees are on that list. I have them 3 on the list. I have, honestly, I have the Dodgers down all the way at 4. I think that it's interchangeable between 2 and 3 between the Mets and the Yankees. I truly think that. If he's going top dollar, no one can outbid Steve Cohen. He can just do it himself. Now, the Yankees have plenty of money. This is going to be probably upwards of $500 to $600 million. The Dodgers have that money too, but I honestly think they'd be better off re-signing Teoscar Hernandez and locking up some key pieces they already have and calling it a day, where the Yankees need Juan Soto. Period, stop. They don't have Juan Soto. I wouldn't expect the Yankees to be in the playoffs next year. That's how important Juan Soto is to this team. That being said, I think he's going to be a San Francisco Giant, Steve. I truly think that. The Giants have been embarrassed 2 separate times in free agency after losing out on the Carlos Correa deal, after it was already agreed to and public. And, of course, who can ever forget Giants legend Aaron Judge? Trust me, the San Francisco Giants have so much money. And they have been dying to get a hitter that can actually put the ball in McCovey Cove. They've been dying to get a hitter that can hit 30 home runs, which they haven't had since Barry Bonds, who, by the way, retired in 2007. And, by the way, their new GM is a Giants legend in Buster Posey, who you better believe wants to make a huge splash. There is no bigger splash to make than, of course, Juan Soto. But then you also got to look out for the other Boris guys who signed 3-year deals that were actually player options, 1-year deals, like Blake Snell, who's going to be available, like Cody Bellinger, who's likely going to be available. This has the workings of a very interesting offseason, and for the embarrassment that the great Scott Boras had last offseason, he's about to make back all the monies this offseason.
That's a fascinating scenario with the Giants. I'll say this, though, and people have to understand this, whether it comes to the Yankees or the Mets or anybody else, because the Mets, you know, they're probably going to try to re-sign Pete Alonso, who is probably going to be heading for designated hitter land soon. And by the way, Juan Soto already seems like he's destined for a DH role sooner rather than later, which is why, to me, the Yankees still have to deal with about 3 or 4 more years of Giancarlo Stanton as a DH. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Otani's your DH in Los Angeles, so if you're going to spend another $500 or $600 million to bring in Soto to L.A., you know, he might not be able to patrol the outfield as long as you want. So if he is going to be a potential outfielder turning DH sooner than later, maybe the Giants makes the most sense for him.
Absolutely does. And again, the Giants are desperate for a winner. They have money. They just cleared house with their front office a little bit. They're kind of going back to basics a little, and they're just going to spend some money, continue developing the guys they have. They didn't have a bad team last year. In fact, there was a short term there where the Giants were a legitimate threat at snagging that last wild card. In fact, all the way going into September. They are currently third in that division. The Giants do not like looking up and seeing the Padres and the Dodgers. That's an insult to the San Francisco Giants. They also don't like seeing the Arizona Diamondbacks ahead of them. This is a team that's got a lot of pride and a fan base with a lot of pride. I wouldn't be shocked if they spend an outrageous amount of money this offseason.
By the way, Jorge Soler going to the Angels. The best part about that trade is you were not even 24 hours into the the end of last season with the World Series last night, and already teams are making deals. I love that. It makes me feel like the offseason has already started because it has.
Dude, baseball's never been hotter. This has been, I know a lot of baseball fans don't love Rob Manfred. No. Say you're sorry to Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred really helped usher in a lot of this. The new rules in the game, the way that everything has worked out as far as parity in Major League Baseball, baseball's never been better. This is the best October I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I am not saying that as hyperbole. I firmly believe I've never watched better baseball, more exciting baseball in my life. I'm actually legitimately sad the Yankees lost yesterday. Because I wanted a game six. That's legitimately why. But you know what? It's also kind of kismet a little bit that the Dodgers get to have first parade since 1988, and it's going to be on Fernando Valenzuela's birthday tomorrow.
That's awesome. Hey, before I let you go, tell me about the show. How are things going with you and Michelle? And, you got a busy weekend. You're in New York City. I know Yankee fans are bummed, but you got the Knicks going. I just saw Kayla Thornton an hour ago. She's the Grand Marshal for a Halloween parade. Helped lead the New York Liberty to their first WNBA championship a couple weeks back. So she's in town. A lot of good things happening around the New York sports scene. How are you doing with Michelle?
Oh, Michelle's the best. Literally the best co-host I've ever had in anything. She's just, honestly, nobody's more real, cool, funny, charming, and just all-around badass as Michelle Beadle, so I love doing the show. Check us out, of course, every day, noon to 3 Eastern, nationwide, Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel, A2 Series XM, but New York City, dude, yeah, it's alive right now. The Yankees were in the World Series. The Mets had a magical run. The Liberty win their first title. The Knicks are a draw. The New York Rangers are good. Like, I'm in the best place ever right now when it comes to sports. I'm having an absolute blast. What a city. And if any of you El Pasoans come out here, please come and say hi to me at some point. I miss you guys over there in the past.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Cody, enjoy the weekend. Thanks for the time, and thanks for starting us off here on the show today.
Hey, thank you for being the best roommate I ever had, Steve.
Yeah, it means a lot, Cody. Coming from you, I love that. All right, he's Cody Decker, folks. And he has been at our KLAQ Haunt Halloween Parade. I should mention that years and years ago, he was Wreck-It Ralph, and he was there leading the parade. So he knows that Album Park parade route as good as anybody, and it's been great getting us started here on the show today. We'll come back with more. I know Joe's hanging in Northeast. Joe, I want to get to you. I want to get to all the calls. If you're a Dodger fan, is this the ultimate, what happened last night? Is it? Can it ever get better than this? And if you're a Yankee fan, what do you do after this loss last night? 505-6009. We're coming to you live from Speaking Rock as we get going. Here's Charlie One with traffic.
Steven, the Paso Metro Plexo, we have a few trouble spots already. Gateway North and Sean Haggerty, they have not cleared up this crash. Now, here I see a lot of backup. Your bumper to bumper right there, Gateway North, as Sean Haggerty with the left lane closed has the backup for about a mile there. So keep that in mind. Backs up to Sun Valley, so caution in that area. Then also we have Border Highway East to US 54 North, the right lane closed, ramp closed, there's backup there. Also Border Highway East to San Marcel, right two lanes closed. There's that typical slowing, Haitini's Piedras through Spaghetti Bowl area. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon, 78 years in business, original family since 1946, famous tortilla soup, popular Mr. T specials, and happy Halloween from Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon, Charlie 1600 ESPN El Paso.
Otherwise known as Ted Lasso. Nice costume today, Ted. I like that. And by the way, I'm going for the latter between your two options. I do not think I'm going to be a happy camper tomorrow. I'm hoping I'm going to be a happy camper, but I just don't expect it. By the way, Adrian, nice job wearing your Jason mask T-shirt today for Halloween.
Yeah, I had to rock a little Jason, rocked a little Nightmare on Elm Street earlier this week for some Freddy Krueger. So, yeah, making it happen over here.
And by the way, I don't know about you, Adrian, but I think that as Sebastian gets older, if he's ever able to grow out a mustache as perfect as the one he's got on right now, that actually fits him pretty well.
Oh yeah, this one he's been blowing the whistle the entire show, Steve. So that's what we've been hearing in the background as well.
I love it. We're live at Speaking Rock, folks, 122 South El Pueblo Road. Come down and see us in the main bar. We're giving away a pair of tickets to Saturday's UTEP game against Middle Tennessee. Right now we go to the phones, 505-6009. Let's go to Joe in Northeast. Joe, thanks for hanging through our last interview with Cody in the break. And, hey, appreciate the time. How are you?
No problem. Good job. Okay, first, to the Dodger fans, you've earned it. I watched the game through and through, and I thought I almost fell out of my recliner in the fifth inning. That looked like a bad Little League game. But that was bad. And let me make a quick comment. You could tell that Austin Wells is a rookie because any good catcher would have gone out there maybe after Volpe's play and would have just told everybody, hey, let's take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. You know, let's regroup. But, you know, it was just like a bad nightmare that they couldn't get out of. And then, of course, the catcher's interference. You know, when does that happen? But I'm going to play Brian Cashman here real quick. Soto's not going to resign. Sign Bellinger, you get him cheaper. Move, get Dominguez in right field. Play Aaron Judge at first, you know, because of his legs. And if they don't sign Giebler, put that Oswaldo kid, and then they'll be okay and get a pitcher. That's it. Hey, Dodgers, you deserve the win.
All right, I like that. I like how you just went ahead and explained the whole Yankee offseason to me, Joe. That's a good way to do it. Where is Soto going? That's what I want to know. Where is Juan Soto going to go?
I have no idea. With the money they're throwing in.
Yeah, if he goes to Los Angeles, should that even be allowed if the Dodgers decide to sign? What if Juan Soto signs for $600 million and he defers like $500 million until after his contract is over, just like Shohei?
Well, or they're paying half. They're paying 30, and then they'll defer the other 30.
Exactly. To fit the payroll. Could you imagine if the Dodgers but the Dodgers don't need Soto. That's the one thing I'll say. They beat the Yankees with Soto. They don't need him, honestly.
They'll win 5 World Series if he goes there.
He will. But they could also win 5 World Series if he doesn't go there. That's the crazy thing.
True. That's true.
You know, they got a hell of a team. So... they really do.
My 2 cents, but, you know, Dodgers, congratulations, and Yankees, we better lick our wounds. And even though I grew up in Chicago, I was always a big Yankees fan, and, you know, wow, man, that was hard to do. But I was also, like I said, because I'm the next catcher, I'm like, hey, man, you got to go out there and sell him down. That's your job. You're the leader, and, you know, Wells, you got shell shock.
I hear you. Appreciate you, man. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for the call. Look, as far as the Dodgers go, got to understand, they won this World Series with 5 starting pitchers out. That's even more remarkable. I mean, think about that. Shohei Ohtani is 1. Clayton Kershaw is 2. Tony Gonsolin's 3. Dustin May is 4. And Tyler Glasnow is 5. I mean... and those are all good pitchers. They're all stars. Can you imagine? You beat the Yankees in 5 without arguably your entire starting rotation. That's unbelievable. So hats off again to the Dodgers for doing what they're doing. Now, we already know. You got Yamamoto. They're going to lose Flaherty. He was a rental, but that was a big opportunity for him to guide the Dodgers to win that World Series. So you got Yamamoto, you've got Buehler back, and now you've got 3 spots left. So Kershaw would be 1, Otani would be two. And of that group, you got to figure that three would most likely be probably go Gonsolin, right? Gonsolin over May. No, I'm sorry, not Gonsolin. Glasnow. There's your starting rotation. I mean, when healthy, that's awesome. Gonsolin's not going to make that starting five. Now when you've got Glasnow and Kershaw.
Steve,
and Otani.
You know,
yeah,
Steve,
it's just crazy.
It's just a real big testament to the depth. I mean, this Dodgers squad, last year they didn't get to the promised land. Why? They had a ton of injuries. This year they had injuries, but they weren't going to let that be an excuse for them not to hang a banner, not to win the World Series. And it's because of the depth they've acquired. Like, you're reeling off that that lineup right there, and I'm so impressed. Like, Otani being the third or fourth option, what does that tell you about that rotation right there for the Dodgers?
It's sick. That's what it tells you. It's now you can never have enough starting pitching. You always have to, anticipate injuries. But wow, it's unbelievable. Look, Dodger fans out there. I was texting yesterday with Brian from downtown, and I was seeing all the Dodger celebrations. Does it get any better than this, honestly? And if you're a Yankee fan, could it get any worse than this? Well, I guess it could. You could have been swept. So there's always worse. But I don't know. I mean, you'd almost rather get swept in four by the Dodgers than lose game five the way you did. That's the hardest part. Up five, your best pitcher on the mound, who had thrown four no-hit innings, and then gives up five unearned runs all in the fifth to tie the game. And what people are forgetting is this. Despite all that, Cole pitches into the seventh and doesn't give up any earned runs. And the Yankees take the lead in this game. They come back and they score once in the sixth, and it wasn't until those two runs in the eighth in which the Dodgers got the win. So, you know, the Yankee bullpen let them down again. And that's rough because, you know, had the bullpen done its job, we'd be going back to L.A. And as crazy as blowing that 5-0 lead would be, the Yankees could have ended up winning that game 6-5. But there's just no quit in this Dodgers team. None. That's what's so amazing. So I'll ask all you Dodger fans out there at 505-6009. 505-6009. Is beating the Yankees and clinching in Yankee Stadium, coming back the way you did in Game 5, is this the greatest accomplishment you could ever want as a Dodgers fan? Could it possibly ever get better than what happened last night? Or is this the ultimate? 505-6009. And if you're the Yankees, you know that you were not the better team in this series. You know that for a fact. You also know that if you lose Juan Soto this offseason, you might not go back to the playoffs next year. They weren't in the playoffs last year. And then they get Soto, and what a difference he made. So what do you do if you're Brian Cashman and you're the Yankees? And are Yankee fans just sick and tired of Brian Cashman and wanting him gone? Although, you want to know something? Brian Cashman did not drop a routine fly ball in the fifth. Brian Cashman did not make a bad throw to third base to keep a drive alive in the fifth. And Brian Cashman did not fail to cover first base on a routine ground out that should have kept the game 5-0. So we could talk all we want about Brian Cashman, but that fifth inning was not his fault. So anyway, those are all good topics we want to talk to you about today. But Dodger fans, what a game, what a series, and, you know, what an accomplishment winning the way you did. Unbelievable. 505. 6009 here on a Halloween edition of Sports Talk Live from Speaking Rock, where this coming Sunday, it's going to be a big one, folks. Cowboys, Falcons, special guest, Drew Pearson. That's right. You want to watch the game with Drew, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? All you got to do is head on down here to Speaking Rock for the Dallas Cowboys tailgate party at 122 South Old Pueblo Road. All right, Back in a moment, 505-6009, our telephone number. You can also tweet the show, 600 ESPN El Paso, as we continue.
East Gateway North at Sean Haggerty. We have a collision. It's blocking the left lane, but there's a lot of backup here. You're in single file. There stretches back for about a mile. You really caught up there, Gateway North at Sean Haggerty, with that crash. On the east side, Saragossa and New World, we have a crash. PD not there yet. They're on the way. Also, Pelicano and Peter Cooper. PD will be working that crash, Pelicano and Peter Cooper. We'll be tapping the brakes. Seven of the brake sites in East Piedras through that Spaghetti Bowl area. Also, Border Highway East to US 54 North with the right lane closed, ramp closed. Some, a little bit of that backup right there. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon. 78 years in business. Original family since 1946. The famous tortilla soup. Tuesday through Sunday, that's tonight from 11 to 8. Popular Mr. T specials. Drive safely, especially tonight when those kiddos are going to be out there trick-or-treating. And happy Halloween from Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon, Charlie 1600 ESPN El Paso.
49 past the hour, back here live. Sports Talk from Speaking Rock, hanging out with you, 122 South Old Pueblo Road, 505-6009. That is our telephone number to get into the show. We got two calls to get to. First, Gator Richard weighs in on the show. Hey, what's going on? Go Gators.
They're playing this weekend. Gators are playing this weekend.
Who are the Gators playing?
Well, anytime they have a bye week in their season, the next game is always against the Bulldogs.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, you know, what can you do?
Well, they call it a rivalry game for a reason. I think the Gators are going to pull it off this year.
I hope so. Is it in Georgia or is it in Gainesville?
Steve, it's played in a neutral location just like Oklahoma, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Every year.
By the way.
Gator Bowl's in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, yeah, well, listen, I mean, for your sake, I hope they keep it respectable. And, you know, one thing I'll say about Florida is even the games they've been losing against the really good teams, they've been close. Like, they haven't really gotten blown out much this year, have they?
No, they gave Tennessee everything they could handle in regulation, loss in overtime. And we'll see. They're getting better every week, if that's a thing.
That's so. Right. Hey, how satisfying was it for you to see Shohei win his World Series ring with the Dodgers despite a 2-for-19 World Series performance where, let's be honest, he hurt his shoulder sliding in the second. And I thought that really once that injury took place, batting-wise, you know, it was great to see him get up there and try to make a go of it, but he was never really 100% those last three games.
Well, injuries happen. He stayed in the lineup for a reason because, I mean, what was it, the third game, they intentionally walked him pretty much. They didn't want to give him anything to start the game off. I mean,
that's right.
It's a World Series. You don't just walk somebody on base. And they paid for it right up front with the next cat hitting a home run, Mookie Betts hitting a home run.
They did. That's right.
So here it is, Steve. They would not have made it past the Mets had it not been for Ohtani getting on base safely 16 times. That's a record. Okay, MLB record for postseason. You know that, right?
I do.
Okay. Well, I mean, since you want to, like, you know, sharpshoot me from time to time, see if I'm, you know, up on my game, like, you asked me that trivia question. Well, who was the only player to get voted in to the Hall of Fame unanimous? And I said, well, right. I got it right, though, didn't I?
You did. I said, impressed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I said Rivera, and you were like,
yeah.
Because
I didn't expect that from you. I was impressed. It was good.
I know I impressed you, but you didn't really acknowledge it. You were like, yep. See what I mean? Now, if Ichiro does not get voted in unanimous, we have to question whoever does not put him on that first ballot. See what I mean? They probably should be banned from the Hall of Fame voting.
You think so?
Opinion.
Banned forever? I mean, they didn't even put Jeter all in unanimous on the ballot.
Well, Jeter is a Yankee, though. Okay. And
what does that mean?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, he's all in, and even in his Fox capacity as a unbiased analyst there, you know, pregame, postgame, you know, him and A-Rod. I mean, I'm glad you had, you know, Big Poppy in there trying to, you know, even the scales. But listen to those two, man. It's sickening.
Jeter, in case you're wondering, there was one voter that left Jeter off their ballot. He got 99.7% of the Hall of Fame ballot. So one writer left him off.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, you know about the regional bias. I think I explained that to you before with Tebow getting his second Heisman. 150 voters left Tebow off the 1, 2, and 3 ballot. See what I mean?
Yep.
Even though he had the most votes. And then Bradford just kind of moonwalks in, you know, to get the Heisman. you know.
Hey, Richard, I got to take Luis before I wrap up the hour, man. I got to get to another call. But I appreciate you. Thanks for getting in. Thanks for talking. Thanks for telling me about Ichiro's Hall of Fame potential class and what's going to happen. We'll see. Let's wrap up hour one with Luis, who joins us on the program. Luis, how are you?
A horrible fifth inning, man. You know, I heard, I saw Aaron Boone because I always tune in before and after games on the Yes channel. Aaron Boone was choking, man. He was practically crying. He says, I feel so bad for my players. And he repeated that today, this afternoon, on an interview. It was hard. How can Aaron? Well, we're humans, right? But Aaron Judge, he dropped the ball. A fly ball or something like that? The error on third base. Golly, five runs in one inning. Was it? God, yeah, no words. Tell me, Giancarlo Stanton, do you think he'll be back?
He's under contract. I mean, remember this. If he's not back, you got to find somebody to take that guaranteed contract. Now, Stanton had a great season and postseason, so maybe he has more value than he normally does, but he's just a DH. I don't know if the Yankees will be able to unload him. That's a really good question.
You know who won't be back? Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, look, I got to see all the contracts the Yankees have and who are potential free agents. That's another good point to look at right now and see when these potential free agents for all the Yankees. I'll give you the list after we start the second hour of the show. How about that?
By saying, look, Weaver, fantastic, but they just couldn't deliver, man. It wasn't the day, whatever, you know. But I'm still a Yankee fan. I'm very proud, and I wish you a happy Halloween. I'm wearing my Pennywise mask.
Nice. Good for you. Happy Halloween. Say hi to Leticia for us, and always appreciate the call from our friend Luis to wrap us up with hour one here on Sports Talk. We've got Lee Sterling coming up in hour two from ParamountSports.com. We're live hanging with you here at Speaking Rock, where they've got a big Halloween costume contest starting at 8 o'clock. We'll tell you the details right after this, 600 ESPN El Paso.
And Adrian Broaddus.
And we are back. Hour number two here on Sports Talk. Happy Halloween, everybody, coming your way at Speaking Rock. It is our Thursday night home, getting you ready for all the excitement tonight here at The Rock. We're in the main bar. We'll have the Jets and Texans about an hour from now here at 122 Southwell Pueblo Road. You can enjoy drinks, food, and fun, entertainment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mentioned not just the Thursday night football game, but also there is going to be a very special Halloween costume contest. Three categories for best costume: men, couple or group, and women. The men start at 8, the couple or group starts at 9, and the women's contest starts at 10 p.m. Now, the costume must qualify by management to compete, but you can win all the way up to $1,000 in free play just to be part of the Halloween costume contest happening here at Speaking Rock. All right. With that, let's jump back out to our 600 ESPN El Paso Longhorn Distributing Hotline. And yes, the hotline has been busy today. In fact, Cody Decker started the show off on the Longhorn Distributing Hotline. Now, from ParamountSports.com, the one and only Lee Sterling, who joins us here. Happy Halloween. Lee, are they ringing the doorbell right now during your segment? How is that going to work?
Well, I'm at the office, and I am headed home as soon as the segment's over. So,
oh, good.
It's not like it used to be. It used to be great. We used to have probably 100, 125 kids. We get maybe 15 to 25 kids now. There's an area within a mile of our house where they have like a safe streets, two full blocks, cordoned off. You know, they've got policemen on the corner to make it safe. So I wish they would switch to our neighborhood. I miss having all the kids come by because, trust me, I have some really good candy. I got full-size candy bars. What are your top three? I want to hear first, both you guys.
Okay, now are we talking top three to
chocolate candy bars?
Are we talking top three to get or top three to give out? What are we talking about? So candy bars?
Candy bars.
All right.
I think chocolate.
Well, listen, you can never go wrong with a Kit Kat. That's in my top three. M&M's has always been the OG for me personally. And okay, if I had to go, let me think. M&M's, Kit Kat, and then let me go with, all right, this is probably going to be a bit of a surprise, and it's going to take you a little bit, off, but give me the dark chocolate, is it the dark chocolate Three Musketeers that we sometimes get during Halloween, Adrian? What's the one that those little mini ones? Is that what it is?
It's a good call. Yeah.
I like some of those. I like M&M's. I like Kit Kat, but like Kit Kat, like that's like I'm trying to tell my wife I'm on a semi diet or something. Having chocolate.
Adrian,
right,
what are your three? It's
a good one.
I
want to
hear Adrian first.
Lee, I liked yours a lot. I'm going to go for mine. I have to go Reese's number one. So if I'm getting the buttercups, I'm not saving them. I'm throwing it in the freezer and then eating it later. And then I'm going Hershey's number two. And then for three, I'm going peanut M&M's, okay?
All right.
Peanut M&M's is probably four or five
for me. Reese's is in the top three. My top two are Snickers, number two, and Baby Ruth. Are you kidding me? All time.
Oh.
Number one.
You like the nuts is what it comes down
to.
Yeah,
like
you're
the nuts.
Nut guy.
I was so into Baby Ruths when I was growing up, and I still love them. You give me two Baby Ruths and a knee-high orange, I'm skipping dinner.
Oh, my God. Every time I think of Baby Ruth, you know what I think of? I think of that scene in Caddyshack.
I forget. Are they eating Baby Ruth or something?
Wasn't that when the Baby Ruth went in the bottom of the pool and they started thinking it was something else?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
By the way, Adrian, you made me think. Hershey's Special Dark might very well be in my top three all time. I could never get enough of the Hershey's Special Dark.
Is that because your mom told you that Special Dark is healthier or something?
No, I am a huge dark chocolate fan. Okay. Absolutely huge. In fact, dark chocolate is my ultimate. So that's my vice. Give me dark chocolate, I'm a happy guy.
Okay, last chocolate thing for me, Steve. Is the cookies and cream Hershey's way too out of left field for you guys?
Not bad. Top 10 maybe. No.
Yeah. I like cookies and cream. That's good.
Cool.
All right. Beautiful. All right. Are we ready to play, Lee?
We are.
Here we go. All right. Five games this week. Four in college, one in the pros. Let's start with our first game. Saturday afternoon at the Sun Bowl. UTEP hosting Middle Tennessee. Adrian, UTEP is a 3-point favorite in this game.
Wow.
Let me repeat that. Yes, 3-point favorites. We don't even know who's going to be the quarterback for UTEP. And they're already favored by a field goal over Middle Tennessee. Lee, let's start there.
I think Middle Tennessee is better quarterback. I know the kid. He's from Fort Lauderdale. Seen him a couple times in high school. I mean, at least they're competitive. They just don't have any guys at running back or receiver that can make plays. I mean, any guy with real talent has left the school. So, I know the host has revenge here at UTEP for that 34-30 road loss in November last year when they lost three fumbles. Just the problem here is they've topped out at 372 total yards in Middle Tennessee. I think they're probably the right side here, 27-23.
By the way, Raiders. If UTEP goes with J.P. Pickles as their starting quarterback, He played his high school ball in Tallahassee.
Okay. That's, you know, that's like 9 hours away from me.
Oh, yeah, so that doesn't impress you. Okay.
Well, no.
You know, I had to.
Fort Lauderdale's less than an hour.
Oh, my God.
They don't play football in Tallahassee. Nothing in Tallahassee is good.
Nothing? All right.
Nothing.
Fair enough. Okay, so Adrian, mental note.
You drive through there, you got to hold your nose.
Oh, wow. So, least
it's like
in
South Georgia.
He is not. When
you're a Miami fan, no, you can't. How do you like anything in Tallahassee?
That's true. I figured. Well, is the same thing with Gainesville?
Yeah, same thing. Same thing.
Okay. All right. You hear that, Gator Richard? Same thing. Next up, number one Oregon facing Michigan. The Wolverines are 5-3. Oregon's perfect at 8-0. The game's in Ann Arbor. And this will be 14.5 for the road team, your number one team in the country, the Ducks. What will be the result when it's all said and done?
So I think the Ducks are really good, and they are ranked number one. But I just don't see them just running through this schedule, especially on the road, where places they have not played. I think they're going to just sleeping, just in different environments, walking into the stadium. You haven't played on that field. I don't think Michigan is that good, but at least they got rid of one of the quarterbacks. I think they're rotating these two guys and doing a pretty good job, putting them in situations where they can be more successful. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think Michigan's going to muck up the game here.
Okay.
Weather might be cold. Oregon wins 24-17. Michigan
close
covers.
Game, so they cover. Yep. Michigan covers, but Oregon still wins. All right, 24-17 it is. All right, game number three, Lee. Number four, Ohio State visiting number three, Penn State. Going to be a fun one. Ohio State 6-1, Penn State 7-0. It's going to be at Beaver Stadium in University Park, and Ohio State a 3-point road favorite.
So I've been making a lot of money over the years betting against James Franklin. I mean, just not very creative. He tightens up in big games. But some things have changed. They were down against USC by two touchdowns at half, and playing a team that has a lot of talent at wide receiver, just like Ohio State, they changed up their schemes and their blitz packages and pretty much shut down that USC team in the second half. So I was impressed with that. I don't think Ohio State is as good as we thought they were. They can't run the football now all of a sudden. They're down to their third-string offensive tackle. They are going to face one of the best front sevens in the country, top five. Their best two running backs, Judkins and Henderson, only gained 54 yards on 20 carries against Nebraska last week, and that was coming off of a bye. I love this young offensive coordinator they hired from Kansas. I mean, look at Kansas. They are not the same without him. So, Andy Kotelecki, I just think that he is a special offensive coordinator. He had a couple great trick plays, and I just think his play calling is top shelf. So I'm going to say the wrong team is favorite here. I'm taking Penn State 27-23 over Ohio State straight up.
Big one from Lee Sterling at ParamountSports.com. All right, let's get to our fourth game, final game in college. 5-3 Texas Tech visiting 7-0 Iowa State. Iowa State's ranked 11th in the country, and Lee, they're nearly a two-touchdown favorite, 13.5 points over the Red Raiders.
Yeah, so Iowa State, if you watch that Central Florida game, it's kind of a fluke that it was even that close. I mean, two pretty much defensive touchdowns. One of them ended up on the fumble, dropping it on the one-yard line, but they ran them in the next play. Iowa State was the better team that day, so just one of those things. They didn't play well, and they still won. Should have won by two touchdowns. And now they got a bye to get ready for Texas Tech. Texas Tech, their best quarterback, Barron Morton, maybe 80-85%. They say he's going to try to give it a go, going against this number 13th-rated defense. They lost the last 2 years to Texas Tech. I think they're going to have their full attention. And if they get up, Texas Tech can't run the football. Texas Tech likes to run to set up their passing game, and I think they're in trouble here. I think Iowa State's going to flex their muscles. I'm winning big here, 38-14.
That takes us to our final game, and that's going to be in the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys, who are reeling at 3-4, are going to go take on the 5-3 Falcons in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And as you would expect, Lee, the Falcons, a 3-point favorite at home.
Yep, and Dallas had a week to prepare last week. They played hard, played well at times, but still didn't have enough here. Dak continues to throw interceptions at a rookie's rate. He may pass last year's total in this game. His completion percentage has dipped, and we see far fewer explosive plays, except for CeeDee Lamb, just not there. Worst running game in the league. Adjustments that I was hoping to see during the game weren't there. They gave up three straight touchdowns in the third quarter to San Francisco, all three drives here. In that game, the 49ers gouged them for 223 yards on the ground, 260 through the air. Now they got to face Atlanta with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, maybe the best 1-2 punch in the NFL running back. And Kirk Cousins really has come on the last four games, 10 touchdowns, three interceptions. And the Falcons defense allows second fewest yards per play. And they're just average against the run. They don't have to worry about the run here. Atlanta, 31-24 over Dallas.
Oh, my God. Do you realize if that happens, what this city is going to Cowboy fans all over.
I know.
Just fire Mike McCarthy now and just get it over with, right?
Fire him, and after that, I think Jerry Jones needs to start thinking about selling the team. I know he won't, but he's the problem.
I know it. All right, look, you've been winning again in October. It has been a terrific month for you. In fact, if you've been with Lee for October, I've got good news. It's now November, and November starts immediately tomorrow. And you even have a free play for our listeners, especially if you love the NFC North. It's been a great division all year. You've got one of those as well.
Yep. How about this game, Detroit and Green Bay? Are you kidding me? I mean, this might be one of the greatest games all season. They're going to lock up twice. Do you want to get this game? Be one of the first five callers. You know what? I'm going to give you the game, that game and tonight's game. The Jets game, and real good game. They're playing against a hot Houston team. First five callers to call 800-400-9741. Detroit and Green Bay on Sunday. The New York Jets and the Houston Texans tonight. 800-400-9741 to get that. And we won in September. We won in October. We won 7 of 9 weeks. Worst week I had all year was last week, and we went 5-7. We've had a 10-2 and 2 9-3 weeks this year. You want to hop on board? We don't call it November; we call it Dovember. You can get 5 weeks, not for $597. How about this? $397. Just one place: ParamountSports.com.
Terrific stuff, Lee. Happy Halloween. Go get yourself some chocolate. Enjoy.
I will.
And we'll touch base with you next week. All right. Take care.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Boy, Lee Sterling was great today. I loved the segment immediately going right at the candy to start us off before we even got to our picks today, Adrian.
I'm thinking of Baby Ruth and Lee Sterling from now on for the rest of this Halloween segment.
I had no idea he was so into Baby Ruths until he brought that up. That's pretty, you know, we learned something about Lee. We do. We know he loves his, his holiday pies, and now add Baby Ruth chocolate to that, and we're good. And he likes Snickers. He likes anything with chocolate and nuts. So there you
Simple
go.
Man and hates what was it? Tallahassee and Gainesville?
Yes. Yes. And he also hates Georgia. He does. All right. Hey, we'll come back with more. 505-6009. We've got about 40 minutes left in the hour. Still want to hear from you. Thursday Night Football right around the corner. Halloween costume contest happening here at Speaking Rock. The Yankees lose to the Dodgers. Will the Yankees be back next year, or do they need to make huge changes to their roster? And the Dodgers, are we in the midst of a potential dynasty in L.A.? So many things to talk about with you as we continue with Charlie One in traffic. On to Jed Knapp, who wore a Ghostbusters shirt today to our KLAQ Halloween parade. Love that shirt. Love that movie. Especially when it first came out. Remember that well. Was 1984, and yep, it was a popular one. We're hanging with you. It is Sports Talk Live out here at Speaking Rock. Come on down, folks. Enjoy the Halloween costume contest that starts at 8 o'clock for men, 9 o'clock for couples or groups, and then 10 o'clock for the ladies. And they are giving away some great prizes. In fact, you want to win free play? They've got first place, second place, third place, and honorable mention. Every prize winner will win free play in those top three and honorable mention spots. Costume must qualify by management to compete. But what a great idea. The Halloween costume contest is happening here at The Rock. Speaking Rock, the home of Sports Talk Live. Also, I understand that George, one of our interns, has arrived at the radio station, and he is wearing what costume for Halloween, George? What do you have on?
Hey, Steve, I'm actually Aaron Boone today.
So, well, that's a pretty good costume.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a bunch of, some rah-rah talk, but not give you any results. And my team is going to make it to the World Series in spite of me. And on the biggest stage, we're going to have the biggest meltdown in World Series history. So, yeah, go ahead and give me another contract extension.
Was this, in your opinion, have you ever experienced anything like this in your life as far as teams you root for? Or does this have a place that probably will never be topped in your lifetime?
It's eerily similar to my Mavericks collapse in the NBA Finals this year, but this tops it, and I don't think it'll ever be topped. And I witnessed the 2004 Red Sox run four straight on us after we went 3-0. I think this is somehow worse just because it's the World Series. So, yeah, man, it's a good time right now.
I hear you. Enrique Ortiz got in on the show earlier and said, "What a World Series. I called it, kind of. I backed out on my original comment in five, but I knew L.A. had it in them, Cap. What is the biggest story of the series? The Dodgers winning in dramatic fashion, the grand slam heard around the world, or the Yankees meltdown?" That's a really interesting question. All right, let's ask the brain trust before I weigh in here at 29 past the hour. George, since we just had you on a moment ago, what do you think the story of this series was?
I mean, for me, it's got to be the Yankees meltdown. Aaron Boone marched Nestor Cortez to his doom in Game 1. We talked about it yesterday. It could be a completely different series if he just puts in Tim Hill against. At that point, Ohtani hadn't been injured yet, but he wasn't really doing much anything anyways as far as like doing damage in the World Series. I know it was Game 1. For me, it's the meltdown. The biggest comeback in World Series history, yeah.
What about you, Sebastian, a.k.a. Ted Lasso, with your Halloween costume? What do you think the story of the series was?
I think it's the Yankees not knowing how to hit a baseball. Game one, they were all right. They were leading for some time. After that, Freddie Freeman throws a grand slam, and they never come back. Game two, it's Soto doing all the work. The Yankees get a couple hits from the bottom of the batting order from Stanton, but it was too late for that. Game three, a meltdown. Game four, they get it together. Game five as well, but you need a bat. You need to be having hits. Aaron Judge did nothing until yesterday. And even then, we still lost. Where did the skill go? The Yankees couldn't hit. It's as simple as that. And teams that can't hit shouldn't be going as far. The Yankees were lucky that the AL didn't punish them, but they were embarrassed on a world stage yesterday.
Adrian, your turn.
I'll take the different one. I'm going Dodgers because if the Dodgers lose this one, guys, we're all coming here today or we're coming after a game 7-6, whatever you want to say, and saying, well, they assembled a team with this high of a payroll and they didn't accomplish the biggest thing out there in winning the World Series. What happened? I mean, you could also say that, hey, if this Dodgers team right here, are they one of the more dominant teams that we've seen in recent memory? Really, the only team that gave them a really good scare here in the postseason, you could argue, was the Padres and how they played them in that first best of five series.
I'll always remember Freddie Freeman. He'll be my takeaway because Freeman homered in four straight games which is a record. And then he homered in six if you carry over his last two games in the World Series with Atlanta. Never been done before. So he wrapped up that World Series MVP by game three, and then he topped it with game four hitting that home run. I thought that was remarkable. But I will say this about the Yankee collapse. Everybody will remember that fifth inning. And as crazy as this sounds, Aaron Judge could go on to Cooperstown when his career is over, but you might never look at him the same way again because of that dropped ball, which started everything when the Yankees were up 5-0.
You know, and that's one of those things, Steve, that could spiral your like career, or at least the way that you're looked at. Like, he could come back and be flat. He could come back and be hated or just be kind of looked down upon because of the mistake. And that's just the reality that he's going to have to live with. That's why it was so special. You know, the World Series is so special. You get these moments, these big level moments at the biggest stages there are. And if you fall flat, well, especially in your home crowd, it's going to be hard to forgive you.
It's so true. All right, 32 passed. You want to weigh in on it? We'd love to hear from you. As Enrique Ortiz said on Twitter and X, how will you remember the series? What's the biggest storyline for this series historically? We'd love to get your thoughts on that. Plus, who will be a free agent and possibly leaving these two teams? We'll tell you about that as well right after Ted Lasso, or as shall we say, Sebastian Perez Novato, who's standing by with this SportsCenter update. Good job, my man. Appreciate that. Noah Guerrero at the Noah underscore G gets in. It would be a disservice to the Dodgers, he writes on Twitter and X, to say Aaron Boone is the reason the Yankees lost this series. L.A. has by far been the best team this playoffs, from shutting out the Padres for two straight games to shutting down the Mets' magic. Just too good. He's right. I mean, he is right. Top to bottom, this Dodgers team has been absolutely terrific. So, how many of these Dodgers are going to be gone after the season? Well, let's analyze their free agents for a minute, okay? We'll start with players that have either club or player options. Now, the Dodgers have a club option on Austin Barnes. I mean, I can see them resigning him for cheap or letting him walk and trying somebody else to catch. Or maybe they give one of their youngsters the opportunity to play behind Will Smith. They got a couple of good young catchers in the system. Also, Clayton Kershaw has a player option, but you got to figure Clayton Kershaw is going to come back a Dodger and exercise that option. And then you got Miguel Rojas, who has a club option. And, again, I can see the Dodgers moving on from Rojas. Free agents. These are your unrestricted free agents who could go anywhere. Walker Buehler, Jack Flaherty, along with Joe Kelly and Blake Treinen. Those are your four pitchers. Now, that is also a really interesting situation because they've got great starting pitching in that list, and they have really, really good relievers. Now, let's start with Treinen, because he has been an excellent late bullpen guy. I don't think Joe Kelly comes back because there's a lot of guys that could take his spot, even though this is Kelly's second time around in Los Angeles. Treinen, though, I could see the Dodgers bringing him back. As far as Flaherty and Buehler go, knowing they have so many guys coming off injury next year, maybe they both walk because the Dodgers don't want to spend that kind of money. What do you guys think?
Treinen is kind of that's my marquee guy. As weird as that sounds, Steve, I don't know. I feel like one of the biggest strengths that I saw from my perspective with the Dodgers was their bullpen and their relievers and just how they were able to carry you through games. And you look at what Blake did in this year. He missed all of the 2022 season, and then 2023, it's right shoulder surgery. But he's looked good, and I get it.
Yes,
he's
yes.
36 years old, Steve, but I really like what he's been able to do. I'd really prioritize him. As weird as that sounds,
No, it doesn't. I mean, you got to realize he was 7-3 with a 1.93 ERA in 50 innings, and they hit 194 against him. I'm with you. I feel like you got to bring Blake Treinen back, and he's been with the Dodgers since 2020, so that does make a lot of sense. In fact, of that group, I'm with you. I mean, you could let Buehler go. I wouldn't spend money on a guy that's coming off of two Tommy Johns. Jack Flaherty was a rental to begin with. Joe Kelly, they can replace. Blake Treinen, to me, is the no-brainer of that four. Now, what about this? Kike Hernandez and Teoscar Hernandez?
The Teoscar Hernandez one to me is, it's going to be tough because there was a down year with the Mariners, and then he signs the 1 year deal with the Dodgers. It feels like the Dodgers just benefited off that down year that he had in a really big way. So does he go get paid? Does he get paid big kind of money? And I think that's, if you think about guys like Walker Buehler, that's probably what's going to happen with somebody like him or even Flaherty, where those guys go out, get paid big bucks, cash out on this World Series run, and then they leave some holes behind for the Dodgers to fill.
Well, and the Dodgers go get another Teoscar Hernandez, right? Because they could do that. I mean, look, what did he do this year? Well, he hit 33 home runs and drove in 99 and batted 272. And you're right, he's going to cost a lot of money, and he's 32 years of age. So as much as I think Mr. Seeds would be great to stay in Los Angeles, they probably let Teoscar walk. I could see them bringing Kike back, though. Kike Hernandez fits the Dodgers to a T.
And he might not cost that much. So you might get Kike Hernandez, who's been just the mainstay player for the Dodgers, a fan favorite. He might just figure, well, I like L.A. I like this club. I feel like I play my best baseball with this group. So maybe they stick with Kike, or they get him at not necessarily like a cheap deal, but they get him for a fair price.
When we come back, we'll look at the Yankee free agents and who could stay and who could go. If you want to weigh in, we've got lines available for you right now. 505-6009. Would love to hear from you as Sports Talk continues live from Speaking Rock, the home for Sports Talk every Thursday as we get you ready for the Texans and the Jets coming up about 30 minutes from now on 600 ESPN El Paso. Thursday, Steve Kaplowitz, Mario Gonzalez out here at The Rock on location. We're registering one lucky individual to win a pair of tickets to the UTEP game Saturday against Middle Tennessee. A game we'll have for you beginning at 12:30 with the countdown to kickoff. Then John Teicher, Cole Freitag, Mondo the Monster Medina at 1:30 from the Sun Bowl. And then Adrian Broaddus getting ready for Minor Talk with Sal Montes, UTEP Zay, Alberto Dueta. Everybody helping that show out when we go live after the postgame show. That's all happening on Saturday. Here on Sunday, how about meeting Drew Pearson? How about meeting a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Drew Pearson? He'll be here to watch the Cowboys and Falcons with you at Speaking Rock for their big tailgate party. What an opportunity that is. So head down and meet another former Cowboy great, Hall of Famer, legend, one of the favorites. So now we've had a chance to talk to over the years on this show, Drew Pearson, this Saturday at The Rock, Speaking Rock. All right. We gave you the lowdown on the future for the Dodgers. Let's get right into the Yankees and talk about their potential players that they could keep or lose following the season. All right, number one, here are the three players that all have club options. Club options means the Yankees can decide whether or not to keep these individuals. All right, let's begin first with Luke Weaver. Now, this is interesting. The Yankees have a $2.5 million club option for Weaver, which seems like a bargain right now. He might even become the closer after finishing the season in that role. So to me, Luke Weaver at $2.5 million is absolutely something you must take advantage of. Another one who has a club option is Luis Trevino. Now, that's also very interesting, because he's got a $5 million club option. So that's double Luke Weaver's price. I don't know if they're going to keep him for $5 million. They might let him walk and go with Austin Wells as your primary and go find a cheaper backup catcher. And then the final one is Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo has a $17 million club option. There is zero chance the Yankees are accepting that option. Maybe they bring it back at a more team-friendly deal. Otherwise, we might have seen the last of Anthony Rizzo at Yankee Stadium.
Steve, what do they do in their infield? That's my biggest question, I guess, going into the offseason. Jazz Chisholm, what do they do with him? Is he going to stick at first, knowing that the issues with Rizzo right now are what they are? Or I guess uncertainty is what it is with him. But what do you kind of see as far as their infield goes and how that could shake up, knowing that they also have DJ LeMahieu, who's also under contract for two more years?
DJ LeMahieu was a total disaster, and as you could tell, wasn't even on the roster. He's been hurt. He has not been productive. He is a mess. That's just money the Yankees might want to eat. I think Jazz Chisholm is their third baseman going forward, and I don't see how, you know, they do anything there. I think Jazz plays third. You've got Volpe at short, and you've got, for now, Gleyber Torres at second. Although, they could let Gleyber walk and move Jazz Chisholm to second and then go find themselves a third baseman this offseason. So let me explain why that could happen right after I mention the only other option is a opt-out from Gerrit Cole. Now, this is really interesting, okay? Gerrit Cole is owed $144 million over the next 4 years. So most likely he's going to say goodbye, and he's going to opt out. But how interesting is this? The Yankees have a team option to tack on an extra year and $36 million at the end of Cole's current deal if they want to keep him around. So that's going to be the million-dollar question is, do the Yankees just let Gerrit Cole walk and sign someplace else, or do they turn the four-year $144 million when he opts out into a five-year $180 million deal where he's now a Yankee through 2029?
Hey, Steve, it's George here. Just a little bit of an opinion on that. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that he opts out and the Yankees make him essentially a Yankee. Well, not for life, but he retires a Yankee.
And pretty close.
Yeah, the reason I say that is because he's one of the few guys that actually has fight on the team, and I don't think that he's going to let that five-run error-filled inning be his legacy. I'm with you.
So look at the rest of this. Now, here are the free agents. Left-handed pitcher Tim Hill, right-handed pitcher Clay Holmes, right-handed pitcher Tommy Kahnle, right-handed pitcher Jonathan Loaisiga. You've got Juan Soto, Gleyber Torres, Alex Verdugo. Of that group, I know they're going to want to re-sign Juan Soto, but I don't see them bringing back Gleyber Torres. I definitely don't see them bringing back Alex Verdugo. And as far as the four pitchers go, I don't know. Do you bring back Kahnle of that group? Do you let them all walk? I don't think Clay Holmes comes back after his troubles as closer. I mean, the Yankees have potentially seven free agents they could lose, including Soto.
It's crazy, Steve. It's kind of interesting to hear it all played out that way. I wonder if this season will kind of leave one of those bad tastes in some of these players' mouths to where they don't want to come back, or if they will elect to return to the squad and try to run it back, feeling like there's unfinished business left.
Tons of decisions for Brian Cashman and Hank Steinbrenner. We know that. All right, 2 hours down. We're going to come back, and we're going to get you ready for a little Thursday night football. It's coming up out here at Speakin' Rockin' on 600 ESPN El Paso. Jets and Texans, about 20 minutes away. We'll have the kickoff for you coming up in a few.